So as we have these small bits of scripture, do you ever wonder what was the setting in which these words were shared? Well, this morning I'm going to share some of that with you, because you actually would have to go all the way back to chapter 11. When we find out in chapter 11 that they come to Jerusalem and they enter the temple. And what Jesus does at the beginning of that whole section of teaching is that's when he does the money changer, turning of the tables, and drives out those who are doing things that are inappropriate in the temple. And then they go and he casts a curse upon a fig tree. And they come back again into Jerusalem and back into the temple. And by this time, when he comes back into the temple, he's overturned the tables, he's cursed a tree. The scribes, the Pharisees, all those in power are ready to get him. So he comes into the temple and he begins to teach. And he talks about the temple itself and how God is going to tear it down, but in 3 days rise it again. And he talks about the parables of the wicked tenants and about the question of paying taxes and resurrection. So he's doing a lot of teaching. But just before this passage, he does the teaching on the two commandments. When one of the scribes comes up to him and says, one of the trickers comes up to him and asks, "So what is the greatest law?" And he says, "To love God and to love neighbor." That's the teaching just before he speaks about the scribes and the Pharisees. Now think about it. The audience, he is in the temple. The audience are the scribes and the Pharisees ready to trick him. The audience is the crowd, kind of on the fence. Maybe they're there because they know this is the miracle worker and they're waiting for the next miracle. So that's all they're there for, is to see the show. And maybe even the show between the scribes and Jesus, because they heard he turned over the tables. So the crowd that we don't know where their hearts are, and the disciples, they're all gathered there in the temple. And he talks first about the scribes. He talks first about the fact that they like to put on a show, but in the end, they seem to be the slumlord. They seem to be the one who proclaim a message and don't live a message. And then he sits down. Now, I don't know where that treasury box is in the temple, but it's somewhere. It's almost as if he's made this controversial statement about the people in power. And he sits down, and he just sits down quietly and maybe observes the conversation, but he's watching. He's watching the till. And he watches some people come in and maybe make a big show of it, but put money in, and he looks at how they're dressed, and he thinks, oh, they're pretty well dressed. They're not going to be hurting when they leave. No matter how much money they put in, they're not going to be hurting when they come home. And then arrives this woman. And there was one image that I loved, because normally the widow's mite, when I look at the images, it's this old widow. I think one of the pictures had, I think on our bulletin, her hands are a bit withered. So you think that this is a woman of age whose hands have seen many washings of clothes and washings of dishes and cooking. But there was one image of the widow who came to put all her money in, all her life in. They showed a young woman with 3 children at her feet. We always assume the widow is old, but in the times of Jesus, you didn't live very long. It was very, very possible. You married older men, that you would be a young widow with children, putting in all that you need, all that you had into that treasury. And that's when Jesus doesn't teach the crowd or the scribes and Pharisees. That's when Jesus, if you listen carefully, he called his disciples. He called them over and he says to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on. So think back. Just a few passages, he's overturned the temples. This woman is giving all that she has into the temple treasury that Jesus has already told us the temple has some reforming to do. So does it kind of make us a little bit uncomfortable that this woman would give all that she has to a temple that Jesus is calling corrupt? It does if that's where we believe that the woman is giving her all. The woman is giving her all to the Lord of her life. She's giving all that she is to God and saying, God, you are in control of everything I have, who I am, what I do. This I give to you and you bless. This I give to you in thanksgiving for the life I have. She is giving her all to the Lord. It is going through a corrupt earthly system, but it's not the system that she's giving to. She's giving to the Lord. And giving out of all of her resources, where those who are comfortable in their lives seem to be just giving either what's left over, or maybe we had some spare change in our pocket, and oh, I can put that in the treasury. Jesus is comparing her to them, saying this is where her heart is. She is giving out of her heart. They are giving out of show. So the disciples hear that and hear that the message he's trying to teach them, one message may be that where your heart is, and we might have heard this one before, there your treasure is also. But Jesus always, when Jesus is teaching, especially teaching his disciples, he's teaching us something about God. So the next question we have to ask in this particular passage, where is God in this particular illustration that he got in real life? And God is in the widow. If we want to say, where is Jesus? That's every time Leo and Wesley and I would go to the movies, and sometimes I do it with the youth when we watch movies, I always ask, where's Jesus in this story? There's a Jesus in this story somewhere. Where is Jesus in this story? Where is Jesus in this story? Jesus is the widow. Jesus gave his all, gave his life for a broken and corrupt world. Jesus gave his life for Pharisees who put money in the coffers out of show. Jesus gave his all, everything he had to live on, for the redemption of the world. Jesus gave with all his heart, life, and soul. So where are we in this story? Do we fall somewhere between the Pharisee and the widow? It was interesting for me, having taught Sunday school this morning, that the same lesson is about greed and faithfulness. And that's really the struggle that we all have. Not necessarily, we might not call it greed, but it's holding on so tightly to what we have that we don't realize the one who gave it to us is really the one who should hold on, and we should open our palms and hold on lightly to that which we've been given. Lightly enough that it can be used and filtered through our fingers to those who need it, but held enough that we can use what God gives us to God's glory. That all of who we are, all of what we have, all goes to God. That the offering we make here is representative of our lives that we give to God. Now, in a little while, we're going to sing a song. Not yet, Janet. Have a seat. In a little while, we're going to sing a song, and some of us will be coming forward with pledge cards, pledging what we are willing to give to the Lord. because that it all came from God. And when we think about the earthly church that Jesus instituted on Peter, whom I rock, in which I'll stand, we're a human church. Even this church here is human. That sometimes we might act in ways that people might think we're hypocritical, when we simply were human and may have had a bad day. Or we're human and forgot to do what we were asked to do. We're human, they're human structures, so inherent in the structure is the fallenness of who we are. But it is also God's church that redemption happens through, and redemption happens to. So when we make our offering, we make it to God through God's church, human as it is. And then the other part of that is that we allow Jesus to teach us about what it means to have a heart for God, what it means to give from our hearts, what it means to give because giving of our time, our energy, our talent, our treasure, our witness is what is our response to a God who loved us and redeemed us. But it's also ours to do to the church, that we can be the hands and feet, but we can also be the voice. And when we are going astray, we work to correct and to reestablish the kilter, or whatever that's called, that thing underneath that helps the boat go. We make sure we're following the Lord. And we don't do it in spite and criticism. We do it with love, so that the world sees what redemption looks like and reconciliation looks like through us. So that every offering we make, whether it's in a plate, whether it's in a plate of barbecue, or whether it's in our driving of a van, or sitting in a coliseum full of screaming kids, or sitting with someone who's dying, or someone who's sitting beside someone who's dying, we are Christ in that midst, making a gift of love. Whether it's singing to the Lord through the choir, or even in the pews, whether it's the offering of music, whether how we offer to the Lord all that we are is a witness to the world that God wins. The widow gave all that she had, and those who were in power and comfortable gave out of convenience. It was convenient to give. Pledging is probably the hardest thing that we do. Because what we have to say at some point as we set up our own personal budgets is the first thing I'm going to budget is my love offering to God. And then when we hear that thing called tithe, we get even a little bit more uncomfortable, because 10% of my gross, 10% of my gross, but my gross is this. This is what, for some of us, 10% is like this, and for some, 10% is way, the leftover feels like unlivable. Tithing is a difficult practice. The widow made some sacrifices so that God would receive the glory. I'm not calling upon each and every one of you to tithe, but I am calling upon you to think about, where do you give from? Do you give from your heart, or do you give what is convenient or comfortable in your life? If there's a little discomfort in what you're putting in the plate to the Lord, then maybe you've given and received the sense of what God did for us, because his discomfort was his death. He died on the cross that we might have life and have it eternally. So this morning, as we pledge and we move to that place of thinking again of the temple of the earthly church, do I want to give to that structure? Remember, it's a human entity made of human people who love the Lord with all their heart and mind and soul and are trying to do the best as servants of God. And our best is making sure that we don't lose track and step off course. So Jesus taught us and taught the disciples. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. She gave her life so that God could be in control. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.